Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Where are we going to go with this search? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
We hope you had a good snow weekend and enjoyed all of the football. I think the most frustrating thing, Mike, was watching these games and going, we should have been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But we weren't, and the Bucs aren't now anymore. And so we'll break down all the things that we saw. But we start first, guys, with the news that came down, ironically, after the general manager spoke last week, and that is they did fire Jimmy Lake. Mike, they
which I kind of have a problem with, too, by the way. If we're not, this would be, I don't know. I don't want to make it into a federal case. It's water under the bridge now. But that's be more questions I would have for the general manager regarding that whole process. You know, how did you come to this decision with the coach? You know, did this come from you? I mean, was there a consensus that he had to go? You know, where was this collaborative effort in evaluating a guy who just got fired? Oh, by the way, 36 hours after you just spoke, you know, which I don't know. I mean, less than 24 hours, isn't it? I don't know, man. There's dysfunction here to me, just to me, you know, and I don't want to start Monday. I want to have a fresh, clean slate because we're going to go find some new dude. And maybe you brought this up, you know, off the air. I don't want to steal your thunder. You know, maybe a coach getting back in the game doesn't help himself by having two rookie coordinators.
Yeah, I think, look, at the end of the day, whoever it's going to be, and there are a lot of names out there, and don't get caught up because some of this is misdirection. I'm going to tell you right now.
Right.
But a guy asked me yesterday, he said, Dukes, do you have any idea where they're going? I hear some names, but I'm not willing to run with it yet because there's still the process and which they're going through. But some of these names we're familiar with. Mike, first of all, you're right. And I said this last week, and it's upsetting because it gives the general manager an out by doing this after he speaks, okay? It gives him an out, which now I don't have to answer questions until the draft, and guess what? We'll have our new guy by then, and everything will feel good by then. And so, to your point, while we're all in this mess right now, help us figure all of this out and how you come to these decisions. Nevertheless, it was the right decision. Jimmy Lake got fired because, no, he wasn't a scapegoat. He got fired because he didn't do his job. He wasn't good at it, and we weren't good at defense. And by the way, the firing of Jay Rogers kind of under the radar is a big deal. We didn't sack the quarterback, and our D-line isn't good enough. If you're talking about developing guys and getting guys better, you better bring in somebody who can do those things. So that firing, too, everybody's kind of talking about Jimmy Lake. We need a really good defensive line coach who understands how to develop and also, Mike, help these guys get to the quarterback.
And, you know, where are we going with this? I know you said at the short list, the first name that cropped up when this dropped was, you know, Robert Saleh. And there was some stories on Friday linking him to maybe going back to 49ers, reconnecting with Kyle Shanahan. I don't know, maybe he wants to, you know, do something different. I think Robert Saleh does a hell of a job. I know Sandra Golden would be happy, Carl. She has a big crush on him. But I do think that he's good at what he did. And the other name ironically linked to it is the guy who replaced Saleh when he got fired, the interim coach Jeff Ulbrich, who sicked Tack McKinley on us here. And also his defense went backwards when he took over after Robert Saleh left the Jets. So I'm not necessarily interested in Ulbrich here, even though he's very popular in the building.
Well, all of these guys that are rumored to be candidates, and again, some of this is misdirection, but some of these guys, Mike, all have a connection to Ra. They either worked with him, worked on the same staff with him, have some kind of connection. You go, Robert Saleh, yes, Saleh was Kyle Shanahan's defensive coordinator. There is a connection there. Him and Ra, they go back. Like, there is a line that you can draw to each one of these guys, and they all kind of make sense. My thing is, who's the right guy? Because the way this defense played, and we got a lot of stuff to correct. I mean, and when you look at the numbers, Mike, and you want to tell me numbers are for losers, so be it. The Falcons were 31st in sacks, we know that. 25th in defense, EPA. 23rd in defense success rate. We couldn't get off the field. More teams threw the ball down the field on us. Opposing receivers, Mike, second highest wide open receiver rate in the National Football League. Like, we couldn't cover, we couldn't get off the field. All these things have to be fixed. And here's the kicker, Atlanta. How much can you add to this team? How much are you going to be able to add to this team to truly try to fix it? So you better get somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, we've gone round and round about this draft. You know, Rucaro. I'm glad that, you know, he's shown some signs. But, I mean, you could argue that, you know, maybe go with the sure thing in the second round, knowing you've kind of invested in Kirk Cousins at the time before the wheels came off to kind of make a run here in these next few years. A project's not the play.
No.
Just like Troy Anderson. And, look, we love him. He's a good guy to talk to. I mean, at the end of the day, he can't play. He's played 9 games in 2 seasons. And I know that I've made this a thing, but it's a thing. You need the play.
It's a thing.
You need the guy. And Nick Benito, you know, oh, let me go with the guy from Montana State who's played 6 positions. Let me go with the guy out of Oklahoma who's really ranked well. You know, this is where you fall in love with the prisoner of the moment stuff and the combine metrics, and you're getting too cute. So to me, our general manager has gotten too cute with a row. Now we got Bergeron right. All the credit in the world. Zach Harrison, 3rd-round pick. How much do you expect out of a 3rd-round pick? I mean, do you feel that, I mean, you're starting to fade now from instant impact? That is the guy that you could say, okay, maybe he comes into his own, because that's the guy that followed Chase Daniels at Ohio State and has got all the size and all the metrics, but just never has able to put it on the field.
Yeah, there are 3rd-round picks, though, a lot of them that have hit, and we need a couple of our guys to hit. We want to hear from you at 404-726-0929. Follow us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See, Dukes, the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929 as we talk about the Falcons now in the market for a new defensive coordinator. Here's the other thing, and I don't care who this ultimately ends up being. Can we put guys in a position to be successful? I mean, why the hell is Judon trying to cover guys 25 yards down the field when that's not what he does?
Right.
I don't get it. So from that standpoint, Mike, we need somebody who not only understands and how to implement a defense and run it correctly, but also putting guys in, giving them a chance to have success. I mean, you saw that a couple of different times this season, and we were like, wait a minute, why is he running down the field with guys he can't cover?
And it got us back to, man, flashbacks of 2019 with Vic Beasley. You know, when you're taking a guy that goes from whatever the reason was, you know, all those sacks, 15 and a half, and all of a sudden now he's just a body out there sort of floating like a jellyfish, Carl, serving no purpose in the scope of the defense. You know, and another thing that's come up, and it's funny, I saw Rusty Manziel, I retweeted it today at Mike Bell ATL. Follow Carl, he's put him up, see Dukes, is watching these playoffs this weekend and seeing all the Georgia Bulldogs. All the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah.
You know, and not just on the Eagles, they're everywhere, you know. Impact players from right in your backyard, which I used to get on Dimitroff, and Terry seems to have an aversion to them as well. So that's frustrating. Now, I'm not sure there's Georgia Bulldogs I'm as high on as you would have been on the 21 and 22 class, but it's just kind of interesting to see all these guys making plays all over the friggin' place except right here in their backyard.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. N'Kobe Dean looks like he's done for the season.
Yeah, that's a buzzkill.
Knee injury. He's been killing it up there in Philly. But you're right. I mean, these championship-caliber teams are championship-caliber teams in college for a reason. They have studs. And Kirby had about 5 years worth of studs in the building. Now, I'm not saying, to your point, that there aren't other guys that are coming along in the pipeline, but, like, there's a reason why Georgia's been so damn good. So, yeah, it is. I tweeted it as well, and I thought the picture with all those guys on the field at the same time, and you're going two different teams, look at the impactful players that these guys, and they're all kicking and talking about, yeah, you're from Georgia, yeah, and they all take a picture, and it was great. But, you know, we can't continue to miss or not take these kinds of players because these guys are right down the road. Now, I know Terry has said to us they're not intentionally not taking Georgia players, and I understand this, and this is the argument. As a fan, we go, I don't care what it takes, get him. You don't just go get a Georgia player because he's a Georgia player. But if he's there, and there have been times when guys have been there, we have passed.
And some of this goes back to Dimitroff. But again, there were certainly some guys the last 4 years from Georgia that would have looked good there. And yes, they do take Georgia Bulldogs, but they take them in the 6th round, like Justin Schaefer, or, you know, they take Zion Logue. So it's not the impact guys. We're talking about taking Georgia players in the first 2 rounds. That's where we're at. But anyway, that was just another kind of like footnote from this weekend of playoff football that we weren't participating in.
All right, we're talking about the D.C. job. Is there somebody you want to see take the job? And for me, the qualifications are simple. Experience. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody who's done it well, who's done it in other places, and has had success. Doesn't necessarily have to be a Super Bowl winning D.C. By the way, our head coach is that. So with Raheem and the brain power that is already in the room, and now we can truly say this is why the defense got better, and that's why Jimmy Lake got. He didn't do a great job. Ross stepped in, and whoever else, they helped the defense after the bye week, and it got better. But, Mike, that's what I'm looking for the next guy, because now we got to take the next step. The offense is good, man. It's going to be good. And I'm going to tell you guys this. As I watched that game last night, and I'm watching Jaden Daniels, I'm excited about what, you know, the future holds for him. But I'm sitting there going, we got a guy too. I mean, they went toe-for-toe, man. They went head-to-head in that week where we probably should have won the damn game, but because of coaching mistakes, we didn't. And, Mike, I feel as good as any team in the league right now about the future of our quarterback. All these teams that are advancing had great quarterback play, and 3 weeks of Penix gives me really the hope that I'm looking for right. as we move forward. And I'm just bringing up Jaden Daniels because he stole the show yesterday.
Yeah, and, you know, Jaden Daniels, just those moments where you've got to account. Did you see the sequence where the Bucs had two spies on him? So you're taking two guys out of coverage, and that certainly allowed for plays. And, you know, it's something that they talked about in the broadcast that, yeah, Chris Collinsworth was all over it, and rightly so. So that's why sometimes, why don't you spy these guys? Well, because you take yourself out of your defense and things open up. Now, Chris, you're a Jets fan. Correct me if I'm wrong. Robert Saleh's base is 4-3, right? So that would be changing the scheme up a little bit. Now, if you like Rook row, and you like Ebiketie, some of those, does that play into maybe expanding that? I don't know, Carl. He uses all the different things, sort of cover one, cover three. I mean, but as far as base, he's a 4-3 guy.
Yeah, I don't think that is going to ultimately matter, Mike. There's so many teams that run 3-4 that are great at right. it. We don't have the dudes.
No, we don't have the linebackers. At the end of the day, we don't have the linebackers. That's why okay. our 4-3 doesn't work. Our 3-4 doesn't work.
Dudes.
We don't have the guys. Lorenzo Carter doesn't work when he's healthy. You know, Judon we talked about doesn't work.
It's not the scheme.
No.
We don't
have the guys. X's and O's and Jimmy's and Joe's. We ain't got either one.
We don't have the guys, man. I'm just telling you. You know who runs 3-4? Steelers, Ravens,
right.
Browns.
And Grady, but Grady Fitz, you know, this was my beef when we brought
Vikings.
Remember when Pease came in and Grady got mad at me, I said, you better fit for a 4-3, you might try to get a trade. Grady does fit a 4-3 if you feel Grady has something left in the tank.
Lions, Eagles.
No.
I'm just telling you.
Right.
It's not the scheme. All right, with that said.
You got to draft the right guys. Free agency is an augmentation, Carl. Right? Period.
We're going to see where this goes with the search for a new DC and how quickly it gets done. We got other coaching news that happened today in the National Football League. We're going to get to that. But coming up, we're going to talk to Mark Raimondi because this news broke literally as we said it would. After everything was done, we'll find out what he thinks about this. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. Padley, P-A-D-L-Y, buys.com. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, guys, join us Wednesday, Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram from 2 to 7. It's Bash Night every Monday and Wednesday. It's all the wings you can eat from 5 until 8.
Ooh,
again,
they might lose money on us.
That's Dukes and Bell. That's us this Wednesday, 2 to 7 at Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram. Come on out and join us. Joining us right now is a guy that covers our Atlanta Falcons for ESPN, Mark Raimondi. And, Mark, it's funny because we just spoke with you last week about all the things that were going down with the front office and Terry Fontenot's conversations. And as soon as we get done with that, boom, they fire the DC and they fire defensive line coach Jay Rogers. Tell us what you know as of right now and where this is with the search for our new DC.
Yeah, this all kind of came down on Saturday. And it was, I think it was a huge surprise. As we talked about last week, guys, when Raheem Morris did his kind of end of season wrap up press conference, he was asked about changes. And his answer was, changes are inevitable. You know, changes happen every offseason. I think a lot of people, if they were reading between the lines, it felt a lot like his press conference right before they named Michael Penix Jr. as the new starter quarterback. So it almost was like he was telegraphing something to come, and that ended up being the firing of Jimmy Lake, defensive coordinator, and Jay Rogers, like you said, the defensive line coach. And I think, you know, I think if you're fans, if you're a Falcons fan, I think what this says to you is that this is accountability, right? This is something that they saw. They saw this was not working. We all watched the defense this year. It was not up to par in most games. There was improvement after the bye, but for the most part, not a very good defense. And they took action, and now you know, the search will commence to get a new defensive coordinator in the building.
Does it matter? We were just talking about Robert Saleh, Mark, you know, 4-3, 3-4-ish. I mean, does any of that matter? I mean, certainly the cupboard is a bit bare. We just don't seem to have guys who can get the quarterback on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything's on the table. I'm sure, you know, Raheem Morris is a longtime defensive coach, and he has his own vision, and I think he probably likes someone who would align with that vision, whether that's someone from, you know, the Sean McVay, Shanahan coaching tree, or someone that he has experience with in his career, maybe someone like a Jeff Ulbrich, who was here, you know, at one point. Those are all guys that I could see, you know, being in the mix. But, yeah, like you said, it's a defense that would not – a complete overhaul would not be completely out of the question.
So, with that said, let's talk about the D-line coach, because I think that's a big deal. As I said, it's kind of under the radar because we were all talking about Jimmy Lake. But Jay Rogers being let go – mm-hmm. The D-line needs to improve. Now, again, we've got to get, you know, some better players. But at the end of the day, I also think there has to be development with all these young guys we have, Mark.
Agreed. And I think a red flag is someone like Brandon Dorlus, who a lot of people coming out of the draft, you know, yeah, third-day pick, but a guy that at Oregon played a very high level. And people thought that at least by maybe the second half of the season, he'd be a guy who would be in the rotation, right? And that did not end up happening. I think he played two games, you know, was inactive most weeks, was not injured. And then a guy like, you know, Rook Arororo, who was injured, and obviously that was a setback, but I don't think he was also someone that developed as much as they would have liked. And we definitely saw signs of that, right? We definitely saw promise there. But I think people thought that he would have been further ahead, right? He was inactive for the early part of the season as well.
Right.
So I don't know if that's necessarily on Jay Rogers, but obviously that was something that the front office and Raheem Morris saw that was not, you know, not up to the standard that they wanted.
It's a Mark Ramadi from ESPN.com. Not Jimmy Lake's fault that some of the guys they brought in can't stay healthy. To your point, you just mentioned, we just spent some time last segment talking about, you know, what do we have with Troy Anderson? You know, and how does he fit in this? Is this guy ever going to be able to stay? I mean, a silly question. Can he stay healthy?
You know, it's funny. After that Saints game, you know, here at Mercedes-Benz, where, you know, he's literally the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. He's got a pick six, and he looks like a guy that can change games from the inside linebacker position, right? I mean, you guys mm-hmm. you guys watched that game, and he really does not play the rest of the season. I mean, that's a lot of bad luck. But when he's out there and healthy, which he was not when he came back, which led him to going back to, you know, to going on IR to end his season. When he is healthy, he can be a force in the middle of the field. He's got great speed. He's a great athlete. And man, you know, there were times this year where they needed a guy that with that kind of sideline to sideline speed like Troy Anderson, because you know, that was an issue, right? Mm-hmm. Speed was definitely an issue, especially in the middle of the defense. So. Who knows? You know, it's like he re-injured his leg late in the year, and is he going to be ready for OTAs, for training camp? I mean, it's 2 years now where he's missed most of the season, so he is a hard guy to rely on, but when out there, he can be, you know, a force.
Yeah, I was just looking at Troy Anderson, and again, I need to double-check these numbers, but he's only played in 26 games in the last 3 years.
Yeah, 9 games the last two.
Yeah, 2-23 and 7-24. So, but he did play 17-22. 22 seems like a long time ago, and that's part of the problem. We are talking with our man Mark Ramadi, ESPN Falcons reporter, as we talk about the news that came down over the weekend, guys. And as we move forward in this offseason now, you know, part of getting this right is getting the right defensive coordinator. Is there somebody with the names that are being thrown around that you feel like would be, as of what we know right now, a good fit? You know, whether it's Saleh, Jeff Ulbrich, Ryan Nielsen, who was here. I mean, there's a lot mm-hmm. of stuff that's being thrown around out there. As I said, some of this is misdirection because I don't think all these guys are real candidates. But nevertheless,
right.
Do you like any of the names that you're hearing?
I mean, I feel like a guy like Saleh is kind of like the A-list candidate, right? You know, he's got experience as a head coach. He was a great defensive coordinator in San Francisco, but I'm just not sure if he ends up here. He doesn't really have like a direct connection to Raheem Morris or the Falcons. So I think there's probably more realistic options out there. Maybe even someone like a Dennis Allen. You know, he doesn't necessarily have a connection to Morris, but he's from Atlanta. You know, his father played for the Falcons. Maybe not the greatest head coach in the world, right? But pretty darn good as defensive coordinator for a long time, Dennis Allen. Someone like that. You know, someone like a Brandon Staley. You know, someone who has that experience. Jimmy Lake did not have experience as a defensive play caller. You know, that's just the fact of the matter. He was not a defensive coordinator. He was the head coach at Washington. He was an assistant head coach with the Los Angeles Rams. He never had a defensive coordinator role. And that is a tough, you know, a tough job to, you know, pick up on a team that where the expectations were that they would make the playoffs, and they did not.
Talking with Mark Grimondi, guys, from ESPN, focusing on the defense because Jimmy Lake gets got in a slow news cycle dump on a Saturday. He's with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. On the offensive side, I thought that, you know, there were certain limitations to Cousins, and then he got good, and we'll never understand what the hell happened there in the middle. But what grade would you give Zach Robinson based on what he had to deal with?
That's a tough one because there was so much change. When I say change, I mean, like, you had good Kirk Cousins at the beginning of the season, first nine games. You had inexplicably not good Kirk Cousins, right, in the middle of the season. Then you had Michael Penix Jr. So there was a lot of change in what they wanted to do. I would probably give him like a C plus or a B minus, Zach Robinson, honestly. Mm-hmm. I don't think he did poorly. It was his first year as a play caller. I think that you saw at times, especially when Penix took over, some of the creativity. And look, some of that backfired, right? Some of the creativity backfired. But you could see a little bit more. It feels like Penix fit the offense that he wanted to run more than Kirk Cousins did because of there was just no mobility with Kirk Cousins. Even when he was good, there was no mobility, and Penix was able to get out of the pocket more. They ran more bootleg. They ran more play action. I think he's going to end up being a pretty darn good offensive coordinator and play caller.
And just as a follow-up, the offensive line, does it say static? Do they try to improve? I know McGarry is the blind side now technically in the center position.
You know, I think that they really like their offensive line and where it is. And there are some guys on the line that have their limitations. But the fact is that they're a very tight-knit group as human beings as well as players. You know, Dwayne Ledford is a very good offensive line coach. And that room is so close. It's so tight. There's a rapport there that you can't that's kind of – the rapport is more than the sum of the parts. So even though maybe some of the guys on the line are not going to be all pro – they gel together well as a group. And you even saw that when guys like, you know, Ryan Neuzel came in and Storm Norton and like Kyle Hinton, you know, it was almost like it was interchangeable. Those guys came in and they did pretty well right off the bat. And that's because of that, you know, kind of what that room is. And I think that they want to keep that together.
Mark, great stuff, man. We appreciate you stopping by, and we'll keep our ear to the street, as they say, to find out what's going on. And make sure you check out Mark Grimondi at ESPN. Thanks. I will say this. I don't know what the number's going to be, Mike, for the college football championship game, but you're getting two of the most storied programs in the history of the sport. And whether you like Notre Dame or you don't, like we don't, and it's no specific reason. I don't have anything against their players or anything. I just feel like, you know, they've always been entitled and have taken advantage, and, you know, it is what it is. But I think the number's going to be really good. And it just sucks that, you know, Georgia's not in it. On a personal level, Texas blew their opportunity. I was just talking to Mike Conte. Penn State blew their opportunity, right? But for college football, it's still pretty good. And that's the uniqueness of this, is that it's not a team that everybody's going, why are they even in this? These are two programs. And it might be a blowout, guys. Ohio State is rolling right now. It may be. But, Mike, I think people are going to be really interested to see if Notre Dame can hang. They just played last year. There's a little bit of tension there. I think it's going to be really good, man.
Yeah, man, Ohio State, that was a dogfight with Texas because Texas is really good despite, you know, and we'll get into this later. I don't want to, you know, make you miserable. But yeah,
open that wound, will you?
Woo, that play called in the red zone. Woof, man, it just leaves you scratching your head.
Brutal.
And Ohio State doing the same thing to Texas that they did to Penn State and Happy Valley, just getting those big stops. Just don't know how you expect to go sideways on a front seven as athletic, you know, as Ohio State. I mean, we talked about it in the Oregon game. Ohio State looks like a freaking NFL team on that front seven and their DBs, you know. And then, you know, Texas wide receiver play. Well, I'll get more into this later. But, yeah, getting back to Notre Dame, a lot of folks, I think, feel that this could be – I don't know if it's going to be as bad as what Georgia did to TCU, but a lot of folks are feeling this could be very one-sided. The TV numbers, I was going to save this for Guy Talk, but you do have to understand it's a bit, pardon the pun, apples to oranges when you break down the Orange Bowl. Because remember, guys, the Orange Bowl – last year, or the Rose Bowl, the semifinal last year was a New Year's Day game. So when Alabama played Michigan, that's a you're at your house on the couch. And the one thing for this, the ratings were down almost 10 million viewers for Penn State Notre Dame. Now it's a Thursday night. We've been conditioned to watch NFL football on Thursday nights in prime. So the other thing is the Southeast. Did the Southeast just tune this game out? Because from, let's be honest, from El Paso to Jacksonville, the South was on lockdown. I mean, the South was dealing with a snowstorm, and Thursday night, nobody really tuned in. So that's something to be concerned about. The last time the numbers were actually not that great is when they made the mistake of playing these games on New Year's Eve. Because remember that was a big hullabaloo when Georgia played Michigan?
That's right.
And people say, oh, nobody wants to watch this game on New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Well, the ratings were comparable to that. So I think the viewing habits, we're still getting more familiar with it. We're now extending this thing deep in out. It's NFL time. But for whatever reason, needless to say, now the Ohio State-Texas game did have good numbers. Penn State, Notre Dame did not.
That's a good point, Mike. It is. The timing of when they're going to do these games, it's a great point. And listen, nobody expected this storm to be as you know, covering the range right. of states that it did, right? And you're right. The entire South was concerned about what was going to happen. Either way, we now know who is in the final. We got a lot more to dive into coming up. NFL, 4th and 1 on the way here at the top of the hour. We will talk about the Cowboys' move to not retain Mike McCarthy. But first,
coming up in 3 minutes.
What's next for the Falcons as the offseason begins? We're going to tell you. Stay right there. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
NFL playoffs, guys, and he was terrible. Justin Herbert, 4 interceptions, Mike, against the Texans. And we talked about those dogs. Like, dogs all over these NFL playoffs. Kamari Lassiter is one of them, and he also picked off Justin Herbert.
Herbert fakes the give, rolls out to the right, throws back to the left side, and Lassiter has the pick at the 10-yard line, plucked it out of the air, INT for Kamari.
Is he overrated? Justin Herbert, is he overrated?
Well, 2 ways to look at this. In the second half, he had to start pushing, and he made some bad throws, but in the first half, they should have been up 14-0. You know, because I didn't bet this game, but I did, at least not on the air, I did bet this game in my private life, if you must know. And I just felt that the Chargers blew opportunity after opportunity, and they really got to go get some help. They got some receivers that are, you know, let's be honest, they're not named Ladd McConkey, they're just worthless. But they dropped balls, they made a lot of mistakes, they had penalties, and they just kept shooting themselves in the foot. They really should have been up big. And then once, you know, C.J. Stroud, right, that score before half, energized the Texans. Defense was playing downhill, and then Herbert started making those mistakes you're talking about.
No doubt. Lamar and company win, and I cannot wait. I'm telling you right now. Sunday evening, 6:30, that game next week is going to be great. Bills and Ravens. And Lamar was asked about rooting. You know, are you rooting for anybody? Do you want to play anybody? Here's what he said.
No, nobody.
How do you feel about possibly having to go out on the road if the Broncos don't win?
I'm not rooting for nobody. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. We've been on the road all season. You know, we ready. I believe our guys ready. But it starts Monday. We don't know who we're playing right now.
Oh, they know now. Yes. It's the Bills. Guys, they ran for 199 yards. 199 yards. That is impressive, Mike, against a team that knows them really well in the Steelers. Lamar had 81 of those. Obviously, Derrick Henry, 180 yards. It was big. Everybody's talking about Mike Tomlin and whether it's time for him to go. Here's what he said about Russell Wilson coming back.
You know, I'm not ready to, you know, take a big picture approach. You know, I'm really assessing what happened today, man, and I'm certainly appreciative of their efforts tonight, but I could say that largely for the entire season. They're 2 quality people, 3 quality people at the quarterback position, man, and really appreciate what they poured into this.
Yeah, it sounds like a no.
Yeah, and I know that it's sort of been a slow boil on this. It started last year, and I think a lot of folks in Pittsburgh are like, can you live in a world without Tomlin? I don't know. I mean, did you guys get deja vu with Arthur Smith's offense? With us? I mean, granted, we had a rookie quarterback in Desmond Ridder, but, you know, at times, you know, Russell Wilson just lost the mojo. The Ravens were basically in total control of that game. You never really had a feeling that the Steelers were going to make a mount to charge. You know, I know that Pickens, you know, we know what he's capable of, but it just, yeah, they just don't seem to have the dudes. You know, T.J. Watt, they've got individuals, but they just don't scare you. Pittsburgh, you can't lose 5 games in a row at the end of the season. I think there's a major problem.
No, I agree.
Good quality people.
Yeah.
Good quality people.
Yeah, I hear you, Mike. You're right, Mike, because if this was us, everybody would say, what's wrong? What's going on? And it right. was us for you know, a section of the season. To your point about Arthur Smith, and I don't know if this was a jab or not, but when your star wide receiver says this, it makes you wonder. He was asked, and I'm talking about Pickens, George Pickens, about being optimistic moving forward with the offense. Listen to this.
Yeah, I've seen signs of growth for sure. From past, you know, the first year I've been here. Just way more growth for sure.
Does that make you optimistic going forward?
Nah.
Huh. How can you not be optimistic unless, Mike, you have an issue with what's going on?
Well, you got to also consider the source. George is a guy now. I can hear guys right now. Get off his back. Like, he's a bit of a malcontent, for better or for worse, he doesn't have that let me take one for the team and just give an adult answer to a question, which now he doesn't. And so people just go, there you go.
You're right.
But I just don't think is that the conduit for your entire offense? Is George Pickens a guy that, I don't know, where his head's at half the time?
Nah.
It's Dukes and Bell. It's our daily download, guys, brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live well. Sean Payton said the loss is on him as the Broncos get demolished by the Bills 31-7. Mm-hmm. Here's the Broncos head coach.
We didn't do nearly well enough. Time of possession shoot was heavily tilted in their favor. We struggled consistently, whether it was third downs or running the football. And then, you know, we never really had an answer to stop their running game. It starts with me, and it's always a tough pill to swallow, especially when it's a postseason game. But the second half, you know, we just didn't play well enough.
Yeah, Mike, but the fact that they got to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback in Bo Nix, yeah, that most people, including me, did not believe that he was going to be this good.
And Bo Nix, if you didn't see, they had an amazing first drive, and really then nothing good really happened after that. And then, unfortunately, you know, Buffalo, and this is the great debate. We'll get into this a little bit later. I mean, everybody is all over, including everybody I seem to hear, like Tony Romo and Nance, just all over Josh Allen as opposed to Lamar Jackson. Now, look, he's accounted for 40 touchdowns between on the ground and the air. He's rushed for 12. Lamar, ironically known for his legs, only rushed for 4 touchdowns, but then Lamar Jackson's thrown for 41 touchdowns, just 4 picks. So, I, you know, you can't, maybe you could split the baby and have a co-MVP. I think that would be fair and equitable. But yes, the argument for Josh is he's doing it with less at the skill positions than Lamar is with Baltimore. That seems to be the argument.
Yeah, I just think that they're very close. There's no debating it. I mean, like, you could close your eyes and take either guy and say they both are deserving, but I just think it's Lamar's award. 41 touchdowns, Mike?
Just, I mean,
Josh had 28 during the regular season.
He's been MVP twice. As I said, you had his 12 rushing. He's got 40 touchdowns, but still, Lamar's got more. He rushed for 4. He's got 45 touchdowns. And the irony there is, if you go back and look at his MVPs, Lamar Jackson has eclipsed the years he's already won the most valuable player.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. Hey, one other thing about the NFL, then we'll get to story two, and that is Dan Quinn talking about his quarterback. Here's the deal with Jaden Daniels. He's got it. You see it. I tell you guys all the time, it doesn't take long. He's got whatever it is that the great ones have. Now, will he sustain it, Mike? Will he win multiple Super Bowls? I don't know all of that. What I do know is, check this out. This is their 7th win of the season on the last play of the game. That's quarterbacking, getting you there and putting you in position to win. Here's Dan Quinn talking about him.
Jaden certainly is a big factor in that. I think if he had his heart rate monitor on in mind, they would not be the same in the game. And his stays pretty consistently good. Sometimes I'm like the duck. If you just saw the feet going under the water, it's good. But he really is into that space exceptional.
Yeah, man, I know as a fan now, I had no skin in the game. You know, a divisional rival, maybe I'll root for the Commanders over the Bucks. I thought the Baker Mayfield touchdown to Mike Evans was unbelievable. He throws it right over the helmet of the linebacker. I mean, just talk about pinpoint. But then Jaden Daniels doing the things he does. And that's the ultimate weapon. Both these guys can run the ball. But Jaden Daniels just taking you right up to the line, sucks you in. We talked about the Bucks having to put 2 spies on it at a couple of sequences, which just kind of gets everything out of their defensive alignment. And, yeah, man, this is a fun team to watch. And I know that D.C., I don't know if you're from there or whatever, those are some of the most long-suffering fans. There's a couple of teams you could pull for. Certainly the Detroit Lions fans deserve it. Buffalo's, you know, been kicked in the cod so many times. And then the Washington fans. I don't know how far the Commander's going to go, but it's fun.
I totally agree.
Story number 2.
Hey, the Hawks got postponed over the weekend because of the snow Mike was talking about. Obviously, they were supposed to play Saturday. That game's going to be made up against the Rockets. We do not know when. The NBA will make that game up, though, Mike. The good news is things are back to normal. Most of you, again, on the roads. Things are fine. And they will take on Phoenix tomorrow at home. So Kevin Durant and company, Mike, they just played them on the road. Tomorrow, pregame at 7, tips at 7:30 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But they get back at it, and then they are on the road at Chicago on Wednesday. So Hawks back in action, but those tickets, by the way, will still be good for that Rockets game whenever that game is made up.
I know that we kind of the West Coast swing. Sometimes you take one in the shorts, and that's kind of what happened to this most recent trip. The Phoenix game was kind of lackluster, if we're honest. Some of those losses would be attributed to not having Jalen Johnson out there. But other than Trey hitting that half court against Utah, there was a lot of meh on that road trip.
No doubt. Hey, let's get to story number three.
Story number three.
We started off the show talking about it, and we will continue to talk about it. The firing of Jimmy Lake after one season with our Atlanta Falcons and defensive line coach Jay Rogers. Now the search is on. And it's funny because Jeff Olbrich has been in the building. He was here with Dan Quinn, for those who don't remember. Robert Saleh, allegedly a candidate. Guys, he's interviewing for head coaching jobs, by the way. So if he gets offered a head coaching job, he's not going to be a DC anywhere. He's going to take the head coaching job if he gets offered.
What does he say, by the way, about the Jets experience? And I probably ceded too much control to, or the perception I gave too much control to Aaron Rodgers.
I agree. Yes. Yeah. And we don't know what the Jets are going to do, but everybody's saying around the league, like, they are probably going to cut bait with the new general manager because, Mike, if it was us, let's just say if I was you were the general manager and I was the coach. We come in and we go, we're going to win for a season with Aaron Rodgers, and then what?
Yeah, you got to – even if you feel like bringing in a rookie quarterback, I think you just have to just hit turn the page, trust your scouting, hope you got it right. Sounds like another general manager I know. And then move on from the vet. And I think the other question is, where does Aaron Rodgers go? But getting back to Saleh, there's a level of dysfunction at that level in New York with that team. We know that. I just thought, it seemed like the pressure had gotten to Saleh at times. So take a year off, you reinvent yourself as a DC, you get back in the cycle next year.
Yeah, and he's in the cycle. He is going to interview for the Jags job as we speak, coming up this week. Hey, last but not least, as we get to the Daily Download, guys, Mike McCarthy is out as the Cowboys coach. Apparently, it didn't have to do with money. It had to do with years. He wanted a longer period of time to attempt to get this right and build it the way it needs to be built back. They are lacking a lot, and they could not come to terms, Mike. So Jerry said, thank you very much. Mike McCarthy says, I'm moving on. And I'm going to tell you guys, I think he gets hired soon. He is now out there, and there are a lot of teams that want a guy like this to work with their quarterback. Mike, he worked with Brett Favre. He worked with Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. He started his career. The first quarterback he ever worked with was a guy named Joe Montana when he was a young guy. This guy understands that, and there are a lot of teams right now that are looking for it. I think Mike McCarthy gets hired pretty quickly.
I mean, I was like a Holmgren as the guy that developed Brett Favre, but you're right. He was there as well. I just think, if you are the Bears, it's not the sexiest hire, but you've got to get Caleb Williams. If you're a Bears fan, I need Caleb Williams to be what Jaden Daniels is. I need him to be what all these other elite quarterbacks already are. And you're kind of like a year behind because you went. You probably should just blown out Eberflus. That's neither here nor there.